Got an incredible podcast coming up. So much to talk about. So many things to tell you about.
What's going on? Oh, my God!
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll get to the Manchester Arena last night. The Ariana Grande concert. Then we'll get to Trump and what Trump is saying about it, and he's right on the money. Yet the media does not care; they're more focused on Russia. And we'll even get to that today. You have the former director of the CIA, who was at the B team with their intel committee today in the House. I'm sorry to be so dismissive of our U.S. Congress people, but whatever, you know. I mean, is Maxine Waters going to be a senator? Hardly. You know what I mean? Not that she was even involved today. I'm just trying to give you a gist of what I'm getting at. Whatever. Not that we don't have nutty senators, seriously, but they tend to be a little slicker, you know? All right, on to last night. Incredible story. 22 people killed by this, this British citizen guy who was of, I guess, Libyan descent. Whether he was some kind of an immigrant at some point, we just don't know that yet. Anyway, so he's 22. He kills 22 people. So he's got a 22 and 22. And then, of course, I think there were 59 others that were really in a lot of really tough shape. And, you know, nail bombs can do horrible things just that you don't want to even think of. You may survive, but there could be all kinds of maimings. Terrible things. And I think one of the youngest victims, too, was 8. And some people are saying that the reason why this... Ariana Grande concert was picked by the evil terrorist guys, you know, the Allah Akbar guys, is that she is a young feminist. I mean, Dangerous Woman is one of her big songs. And I remember seeing some pictures of some ladies, you know, mommy types, you know, in the black T-shirt saying Dangerous Woman on it and all that. And it may be that, you know, Ariana is talking about being a strong woman, having her own destiny, but that the bad guys, they live in a paternalistic society. Patriarchal society from over 1,000 years ago, and that's the way they like it, all right? And you young women and all this empowerment stuff is bullshit to the bad guys, and they're even talking about that's one reason why. Now, what I found interesting, I mean, beyond how sad all this is the audio we're going to play for you of the panic. I don't want to get, I might as well get right to it. I don't know what we're waiting for, you know, on Evil Thoughts today, but let's do it. Here is, obviously, somebody's rolling their cell phone, and they're kind of panicking along, but you're hearing other people, and you're hearing the crowd, but there's something that happens at the end that I find is truly extraordinary. So let's play the tape last night at the Manchester Arena. The bomb has gone off outside, but really reverberates inside the arena where this audio now is coming from. People know something is terribly wrong, and this is where we pick up the audio from inside the arena. So listen to this. It sounds like there's two girls talking to themselves.
Oh, my God!
So it's chaos inside the event area. People trying to get out. They know something is wrong, but they don't know what it is. But there's panic.
There's no problems here. Just take your time and keep exiting the building. There's no need to bunch up and run. Take your time. There's no problems here. Thank you.
Wow. Some guy has to come on the thing. Say everything's fine. There's no problems here. And then you heard the panic. I mean, to me, that was extraordinary. Everything is fine. You know what I think about that? First of all, I understand, what are they going to say? You know, everything is fine. There are no problems. It almost reminds me of what they said when we had 9/11 and the terrorists had control of the plane. And they said, everybody put their seatbelts on. There's no problem. We're returning to the airport or whatever. You know, shut up and sit down. And I certainly don't want to compare these two because one is the height of... sadness on our part, and the other is just pure evil. So I'm not equating them at all, but I'm just saying it's kind of weird when you are a group. I'm going to make a deep point here. When you're a crowd, you know, you got to kind of be controlled the best way we know how or whatever, because people tend to panic, and rightly so. And what are we going to do? So you get some poor son of a bitch that has to sit up there and go, hey, there's no problems here. For all we know, he doesn't even know either. But it sounds to me like everybody knows something's wrong, and he's just trying to help these people maybe not panic. But look, what are they supposed to do? Empty onto a street where this bomb has gone off or whatever? They don't even know what awaits them outside. And, you know, whenever you're a crowd, to me, that I make it a stretch here, but it makes me really think of the benefits of being an individual. You know, of course, crowds are inevitable, but they got to be treated one way. And I'm just saying, I'm making a political statement here, that I think a lot of times we're better off if we focus on the individual rights and privileges that you get as a United States citizen. Maybe I'm going way too deep here for this, but I you know, crowds are like to be controlled. I'm not interested in control. So it's just a thing. But I thought it was interesting to bring that up. These poor people are stuck. And Trump was asked about it. Before he flew to Rome, he was in front of a mic in Bethlehem in Israel. And he spoke about it. And before we play you that audio, because I think that's interesting too, I just wanted to mention CNN's John King, who I used to think was like a real sort of a journalist guy, but I guess I missed the boat on that one. He's just more opinion journalism now. He was reporting what Trump had said. And we're going to play it for you in just a second. And I'll give you the lead here. Trump said these guys are losers, all right? Which I like, and we can talk about that in a second, too. But John King, you know, kind of said, not under his breath that he didn't scream it, but he just kind of laid it out there. He goes, well, we know there was just one guy. And sort of kind of put down the president to fill out that meme that he's stupid and doesn't know what he's talking about. Which I think, really, John, I mean, seriously, when the president said these guys are losers, you know, he's referring to all terrorists. He's referring to maybe this guy, this 22-year-old guy that did this. And by the way, if you know something about the, I believe it was a hydrogen peroxide bomb with nails as the projectiles. And in order to make one, you usually need a lot of help. Right, John King, right? You need a bunch of people to help you. The last people that made them, I think they had to have a commercial refrigerator to take these toxic chemicals that you got to mix together. They're very unstable at room temperature, hell, and so you try to keep them as cool as possible. And you need like a real heavy-duty refrigerator to do so, or else you can't make it happen. So you probably have somebody helping you. So somewhere they're looking for a bomb factory in Manchester, England tonight or someplace close. So it's more than one guy, most likely. Anyway, John, so I digress on this, but it just ticks me off when they just try to take shots at Trump that are stupid. So here is President Trump in, I guess it was Bethlehem, before he flew to Rome, and he's talking about these animals.
We stand in absolute solidarity with the people of the United Kingdom. So many young, beautiful, innocent people living and enjoying their lives murdered by evil losers.
Okay, there he is. He sounds tired, but evil losers.
In life.
Yep.
I won't call them monsters because they would like that term. They would think that's a great name.
Yeah, you know, right. I'm not going to give you any credit for anything whatsoever. You're a loser.
I will call them from now on losers.
You know, it's funny because he, you know, everybody bags on him for saying it, but it's interesting because you could tell he really means it.
Because that's what they are. They're losers. And we'll have more of them.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's one other clip he says, and I went, okay, that's all right. But then this just blew me away. You know, if you listen closely to Trump, let's pick up the tape again, because I think I know where he's going, and I want to comment on this.
But they're losers. All just right. Remember that.
All right, now we pivot. Listen.
This is what I've spent these last few days talking about during my trip overseas.
Bingo. Okay. No, wait a minute. He sounds tired, and he sounds like he's just reading it, but this is exactly the point. I almost stopped the tape. I'm so glad I heard him say that. That's exactly right. What Trump has been doing in the last 48 hours is trying to stitch together the Mideast, all right, as a businessman would, not as a person. And, you know, all credit to Mr. Obama, his predecessor. I'm sure he wanted peace, too. Of course he did, all right? But the way he wanted to do it was kind of like scold everybody and say, you know, it's all about human rights all the time. That's just, that approach, I think, is really not that effective. Although it sounds great, and it looks great, and liberals love it, I think the approach, the monetary approach with Trump, and then the societal changes that come after you create the monetary ties, I think Trump knows how to build the pyramid. And there is nobody better we could have representing the United States than Evil Trump. This is exactly what we want. And the media, of course, could give a shit about that. Excuse my French. I don't know. We play more of the president here. Maybe he'll talk more about what he's been doing. But the point is that the media has not that much interest in what we've been talking about in the last couple of days. I want to mention the economy in a second, but let me play a little more Trump and just see if there's anything else here. And then remind me to talk about the economy.
Our society can have no tolerance for this continuation of bloodshed.
All right, yeah, well, okay, so he's got that part down. Now, the thing about the economy, what I like, back to the monetary approach to world peace or whatever you want to call it, getting rid of the bad guys, Trump knows better than anybody, better than President Obama, just because he is a businessman. I'm not even putting down Obama. He had lots of strengths and stuff. I didn't like his political approach at all. Whatever. It's just not my thing, you know? But he was handsome and he was, you know, a lot of things, but, you know, whatever. But Trump knows about business and money, and he knows the value, right, of an $18 trillion economy. That is his bargaining chip. And he really gets it in his DNA. In areas that Mr. Obama has never even explored, the way that Mr. Trump has. You know, think about what that is. He, Trump, has an appreciation for an $18 trillion economy. That's why when he goes to China, what's it all about? Your future, look at us. We're right, really your biggest trading partner. Maybe close to those bozos in the EU. Yeah, whatever. They're losers or whatever. You know, whatever. But the United States really big. Is your future with us or North Korea? Seriously, right? He's over in Saudi. Hey, I can see what's happening. You're going to implode. That's cool. You're smart. You get that. Great. Let's do business. Yeah. You know, see, he gets that. That's how you stitch them together. And the media, of course, has no interest in that. Let's move along to, and that's why I like Evil Trump. Now, John Brennan, former CIA director, in front of and I apologize for dissing the esteemed members of our House of Representatives, but he was in front of a House Intel Committee today, the former CIA guy, and I think this is pretty interesting. He's very, very boring here in this piece of audio, but you know, the tone is interesting because he's reading, and there's a reason why he sounds like this, and I'll give it to you in a second. Here is Mr. Brenner, the former CIA director who left office, I believe, sometime in January, along with everybody else. From the previous administration. Here he is just about a couple of hours ago.
When it became clear to me last summer that Russia was engaged in a very aggressive and wide-ranging effort to interfere in one of the key pillars of our democracy.
Does he sound boring? Right, yeah, but there's a reason which is really interesting. Let me turn you on in a second.
We pulled together experts from CIA, NSA, and FBI.
What's he sound like he's doing? Think about it. What do you think he's doing?
In late July, to focus on the issue.
I'll just give it to you. He's covering his ass. It's great. Hey, I've been doing my job. That's exactly what he's doing. It is great. I mean, there's more audio here coming where you can tell he's just speaking extemporaneously. But right here, man, he's just making sure that he... And I've made this point, and there's a reason why I like this. Let's play a little bit more, see if we can get to the other stuff. But there's a reason why I like this.
Drawing in multiple perspectives and subject matter experts with broad expertise to assess Russian attempts to interfere in the U.S. presidential election.
Oh, you're doing a good job, Mr. Brenner. You are.
I said American voters would be outraged by any Russian attempt to interfere in the election.
Okay, we get it.
Finally, I warned Mr. Bortnikov that if Russia pursued this course, it would destroy...
I hope he gets to the good stuff soon, because I want to make a couple points here.
And would undermine constructive engagement, even on matters of mutual interest.
Okay, let's see if they... Dude, you're killing my podcast. Stop it, Mr. Brennan. Anyway, what was I going to say about this guy? He's covering his ass. And this is what I've been telling you, that the intel community has been all over Trump for so long. I've been telling you, this is what we want them to do. This is what they're paid to do. You know, even though they may go over the line, excuse me, I'm hitting the mic there, but even though they may go over the line and we have to be careful about that, we want the best intel on the planet. We don't want anybody becoming president. Oh, damn, are we out of time? We don't want anybody becoming president if they're in bed with Vlad Putin. I don't know. We're out of time on this podcast. But, you know, there's tomorrow. We do them every single day. That's great. Oh, and one other thing. Brooke Baldwin, one of my favorites from CNN. You know, she's on the air every day from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, East Coast time. And yesterday, I watched her sign off in New York. And then today, I flip on the tube, and she's reporting from Manchester, England, you know, the site of the terrorist attacks. So imagine the scenario, you know, logistics. You know, you get off the air, and the next thing you're at the airport, you know, and then you're working over. I'm sure I don't feel too sorry for her. I'm sure they're treating her just fine. But hey, submit to this podcast. Why do I always say that? Subscribe to the podcast. I want you to subscribe to the podcast. We do them every day. You get them every day. All right. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter as Joe Crummy and on Instagram as Crummy Joe. And those are my evil thoughts.